Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 95 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and boy, are we going to be talking about her body today. But before we start the episode, just know it's made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, please go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder, please hop on over to iTunes and rate and review us because we love to hear from you. Give us your feedback on the podcast because you know something? These are such great episodes, like the one we're about ready to do right now. All right, it's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life. It's all about her.
I am so pleased to welcome back Dr. Keisha Gaither to an episode that's really, really important for all of you to listen to. It's about your weight, pregnancy, and gynecological issues associated with your body weight. Now, as you might remember, Dr. Keisha Gaither is a double board certified physician in OBGYN and maternal fetal medicine, holds a master's degree in public health. She's a perinatal consultant and women's health expert, and she's grounded in both research and her professional experience in caring for women with diabetes, HIV, and obesity and pregnancy. Dr. Gaither, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. You give the greatest introductions. I truly appreciate it.
I so thoroughly enjoy it, especially when I know you're going to be on with us. You know, one third of Americans today are classified as obese and another one third considered overweight. And according to the CDC, right, that's the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, nearly one quarter of women giving birth are obese. That means 175 pounds or more for a 5'4" woman. And they're obese before becoming pregnant. And gaining weight during pregnancy is anticipated and necessary for a healthy mother and baby. However, according to you, Dr. Keisha Gaither, your exact quote, for obese women defined as a body mass index of 30 or higher, starting a pregnancy can present a wide range of complications if you're obese. So talk to us about this whole issue of obesity and pregnancy.
Well, for the mom, let me back up. When I start talking about obesity or just any subject in general, I really like to speak to the mother in waiting or the mother-to-be about how it impacts upon her health as well as that of her baby. So for the mom-to-be or the mom who's in preconceptual counseling and thinking of having a baby, one of the things that obesity confers to the mother is an increased risk of diabetes, okay, either gestational or if she has not conceived yet, then pre-gestational. The other thing that is important to know, during the course of her pregnancy, obesity also increases her risk of hypertensive disorders, either gestational hypertension, meaning hypertension that comes with pregnancy, or something that's known as preeclampsia. So those are the two main things that I really like to push home that the mother should know about. In addition, larger moms give birth to larger babies, and you have to concern yourself with how large the baby is prior to birth, because sometimes when you have a very large baby, that precludes them to having birth trauma. There's such a thing known as a shoulder dystocia, where the baby deposits the fat very much in the shoulder girdles and in the belly, such that when delivery comes, the head can come out without difficulty, but the shoulders and the belly basically kind of become stuck. And that's something that you just don't want to have to experience during the course of the birthing process. So we really make sure that the baby is within a certain size for mothers overall, but particularly for moms that are on the heavier side.
Well, is this the reason why they have more C-sections?
Possibly, yes. Yes.
So it's true.
So, and then with C-sections in and of itself, anytime you have an operative delivery, you are at an increased risk of developing respiratory complications and clotting issues, you know, throwing clots in your legs and in your lungs and so forth and so on. So all of these things are, you know, I feel important to discuss with mom such that she, you know, can educate herself accordingly. Now, that's for her. Now, for baby, mothers who are heavier tend to have an increased risk of babies that have congenital anomalies, specifically neural tube defects. And that's a defect along the developing baby's brain and spinal cord. So there seems to be, and nobody knows why, but there seems to be when you're heavier, you're metabolizing glucose or sugar in an abnormal manner. And these abnormalities confer themselves specifically along the baby's developing nervous system such that there's an increased risk of neural tube defects. Babies that, you know, have openings along the spinal canal or where the brain itself doesn't develop normally. So all of these things are very important for the mom to kind of familiarize herself with and be attuned to.
Huh. You know, as I'm listening to all of this, I don't see enough of this out there in the literature in terms of, you know, for consumers. You know, what I'm really reading right now is, you know, this is my body. It's okay if I'm 50 pounds or more overweight. There's a very strong body positivity movement out there. There's a real delicate walking on eggshells around any, you know, body shaming or back and forth. And I think you and I, Keisha, as physicians, are exquisitely sensitive to all of this. Yet now we're talking about an actual biological process, and that is pregnancy. Mm-hmm. That involves not just mom, but the baby. So now you've got two involved, and now it kind of takes us out of the other realm and into a very practical realm of what, you know, what having the extra weight actually does. Do you find that your patient, you know, your patients, meaning the women that you work with, are they receptive to this? You know, if they come to you, let's just say a woman is seeing you for GYN. Only right now, but she's thinking becoming pregnant and she's at least 50 pounds overweight. What kind of conversation and how receptive are your patients when you're discussing this?
Well, I mean, I have found that it varies. Some patients are very receptive and some actually get offended. I am a firm believer in patient engagement, where I want to explain things to them in a manner in which they can understand, in which they have knowledge. Okay, this is what the condition is. These are the possible complications of the condition. And here's some things that we can do either that will provide a good outcome for not only you, but if you're pregnant, to have a good perinatal outcome. And, you know, surprisingly, there are some patients that really get offended by that.
Wow.
I don't quite understand that, particularly if someone is giving you the information in a way that, you know, I'm not speaking to you in medical lease. I'm speaking to you, these are the things that can happen, and this is why, and so forth and so on. Some patients actually get offended.
Wow. You know, that's just, I think it's also because the whole issue of weight is just a lightning rod. And I think it just, you know, takes a woman. I know, you know, because I'll work with women who are not pregnant at that moment, but are dealing with this whole weight thing. And, you know, they take it exquisitely personally because they've gone through hell and back, God knows how many times, trying to, you know, sort of struggling, dealing with the issue. And so, you know, now that the whole pregnancy thing brings up also a child, I think it just complicates this. And sometimes I think can really make a woman anxious, angry, really kind of throw her into a lot of denial as well. I think it's just a really, it's a lightning rod kind of place. I also think that a lot of women are not fortunate enough to have a doctor like you. And I think that they've gone through a lot of shaming by doctors. And you know the literature as well as I do, that a lot of physicians don't really know how to speak in a supportive, gentle, informative way that respects the fact that this is a very tough topic. I think it's an uncomfortable topic for a lot of doctors. So, you know, it kind of goes to that place too. I think it's really rough. It's just rough in general, you know, on the overall. So, but obesity, you know, when you're talking about a woman who wants to become pregnant, it also affects fertility. How does it affect fertility?
Well, a lot of times when you have a woman who is obese and infertile, you have to concern yourself as to whether or not she has a condition known as polycystic ovarian syndrome. There's a whole clinical presentation where she might have diabetes, she's heavy, and she's infertile. So, you know, if I'm having a preconceptual consultation with somebody who is talking about infertility, certainly prior to me sending her to a reproductive endocrinologist, you know, I need to screen her and get a good evaluation of her pelvic anatomy sonographically to kind of gauge as to whether or not she does have PCOS. So that's one thing that kind of goes along a lot of times with obesity and infertility.
And we'll be right back with our special guest. But first, let me tell you that this episode of Her is brought to you by That's It Fruit and Veggie Bars. You know you need to get those fruits and veggies every single day, and we're not doing it. So you probably already had That's It Fruit Bars. Now we've got That's It Veggie Bars. They're fantastic. They're featured in four flavors, black beans with kale, peas, carrots, and corn. Each bar is under 100 calories, has 4 grams of green protein, and like their fruit bars, have no preservatives, are gluten-free, non-GMO, contain no fat, are kosher, vegan-friendly, and even have 4 grams of fiber. Wow, each bar contains a full serving of vegetables. These are great for snacks as well for your whole family. Want to try it for yourself? Make sure to head on over to thatsitfruit.com and enter promo code HER to save 10% off on any order today. They're only available online right now, but keep an eye out for them soon because they'll be coming to your favorite local retailers. That's thatsitfruit.com with promo code HER to save 10% off on any order today. We've really looked at, you know, when you're thinking about pregnancy and obesity and what's related to that, the preeclampsia, the gestational diabetes, more C-sections, there are labor challenges. Oh, yeah, the labor challenges, too. Overdue deliveries. Now, that's quite fascinating. Why?
Just heavier babies. I don't think there's any science as to why, you know, heavier mommies have a longer gestational period, but there is an association.
Huh, there fascinating. Is and then
association.
And then UTIs, urinary tract infections. Obese pregnant women have more of those, but somehow this also affects the baby too, right?
Well, sometimes pregnant women have something that's known as asymptomatic bacteriuria, which is a fancy way of saying you have bacteria within your renal system that if left untreated can predispose you to urinary tract infections where it's just the bladder involved, or have that infection ascend up into your kidneys, causing a kidney infection, which is known as pyelonephritis. Now, pyelonephritis in pregnancy, really got to hop on that and treat that aggressively, because that can rapidly lead to overwhelming bodily infection, and where your respiratory system is compromised because of the repercussions from the overwhelming bacterial infection. So you really want to screen your ladies during the course of pregnancy to make sure they don't have asymptomatic bacteria. And if you do find it, then they're treated to prevent all of those potential sequelae. And certainly any time a woman has an infection in her body, particularly of her urinary system, or any place really, truth be told, that increases your risk of preterm delivery as well.
Interesting. Really fascinating. So that's for a pregnant woman. All right.
That's for a pregnant woman. Mm-hmm.
Now, a woman comes to you and she is obese and has just discovered she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. All right. What are you telling her with regard to her nutrition, physical activity, basically lifestyle? Because right now she's pregnant. And so she's looking at you saying, well, you know, how much weight should I gain? How do I live my life right now? I'm really pretty open and receptive to making some changes, et cetera.
Well, one of the first things that I usually talk about, I talk about maternal effects and fetal effects. So if I've gotten her very early in pregnancy, I want her to start taking folic acid supplementation. And what folic acid does is it assists in neural tube development. And since we already know that being heavy confers an increased risk of neural tube defects, I'd like to get her preferably in the preconceptual period, but most definitely in the early period of pregnancy, and have her have that on board. So that's the first thing. I also want to screen her early for gestational diabetes, because I know that obesity and gestational diabetes, you know, they kind of go hand in hand. So I definitely want to do that. I want to obviously make sure to screen the urine so we're not dealing with any asymptomatic bacteria. And then I'll probably, you know, refer her to a nutritionist so they can go over diet, see, you know, kind of, you know, how she's eating, and to make sure that, you know, we've got the nutritional aspect of it kind of clamped down, good protein ratio, plenty of fruits and vegetables, cut out, you know, the fried foods and the fast foods. And then during the course of her pregnancy, let's see whether or not she has low vitamin D levels, because all of these things tend to be associated with heavier women. You know, you might be heavy, but you might have a nutritional deficiency. And a lot of women in the U.S., particularly African-American women who are obese, seem to have deficiencies of vitamin D. So we want to make sure that that's corrected. And to monitor the growth of the baby during the course of her pregnancy, to make sure that we're not dealing with a 10, 12, 13-pound baby when it comes time for delivery.
Well, because now you've got to make changes.
Now we've got to do a C-section. You know, that's
exactly
not somebody that you would, you know, have a trial of labor, because we know that, you know, there would be an increased risk of having a shoulder dystocia, or basically not even being able to get the baby out. So for her safety and for the baby's safe delivery, you know, an operative delivery, once the baby is past a certain weight, would certainly be recommended.
What are the weight gains that you're looking for in an overweight woman and an obese woman? You know, because they're obviously going to have some weight gain with pregnancy.
Right. Well, you know, that's kind of hard to really put forth. You know, you make recommendations, but a lot of times those recommendations are hard to attain. Typically, if a woman is morbidly obese? And let me back up and just talk about how we defined obesity.
Right.
Obesity is defined by a BMI, and BMI stands for body mass index, and that's just the relationship between your height and your weight. And depending on where your BMI falls, that determines how you are defined. So if you have a BMI that's less than 18.5, then you are considered underweight. If your BMI is 18.5 to less than 25, you're normal. If you're 25 to less than 30, you're within the overweight range. If you are 30 or higher, you fall within the obese range. Now, then obesity is further subdivided into categories. 30 to 35, you're a class 1 obesity. You're class 1 obesity. That's how it's defined. 35 to 40, we start talking about class 2, and BMIs of 40 or higher are class 3, and they're considered excessively or severe obesity or morbid obesity. That's the more common term that is designated. And certainly, you know, when you get into the category of morbid obesity, not only do you have to concern yourself with the nutritional aspect, the weight of the baby, the increased risk of congenital anomalies and hypertension, but you also have to start looking at the cardiovascular system, how your heart is functioning. So for my ladies who have BMIs 35 or greater, I always look at their hearts. And why do I do that? Well, it is well established that morbid obesity and pregnancy has kind of an effect on the mother's heart. And you can basically, along with the development of hypertension, kind of put your heart at a strain and develop congestive heart failure. Or peripartum cardiomyopathy, as it's more medically known. So all of my ladies who are, you know, have a BMI of 35 or greater, and particularly if, you know, their blood pressure is elevated, I screen them to make sure that from a cardiovascular standpoint, we're in good stead, since we don't want to have any peripartum cardiomyopathy occurrence during the course of their pregnancy or certainly right after delivery, which it can happen up to 6 weeks post delivery. The other thing that I always do is I make sure that they have a visit when they're in their late third trimester with the anesthesiologist, because there are certain challenges. Say if the mother, you know, you don't know how you're going to deliver until it's actually almost that time. And, you know, there are challenges that anesthesiologists have as to giving them general anesthesia or even putting in an epidural. So, you know, there are certain exams that the anesthesiologist need to do, assess their oral cavity, because a lot of times, you know, you have a lot of adipose tissue deposited around the neck. They want to make sure that the woman can, you know, extend her neck and that they will be able to have the tools necessary for general anesthesia should that need to be undertaken. So there are a lot of things that, you know, go along with obesity and pregnancy. Does the hospital have adequate bed size, not only
there
for
go.
After
yeah.
delivery, but also an OR table that can handle the, you know, morbidly obese patient? Do they have the specialized operating tools? Because, you know, you have to have a certain type of, you know, tools during your surgery to accommodate an obese woman. So these things all have to kind of be in place prior to, you know, delivery.
Wow. You know, it's just, I hope
a
that all the women out there, well, yeah, all the women out there listening to this marvelous podcast are really realizing this is like a reality check.
It
you know?
Is.
You know, it really is. I mean, with everything else aside, you and I are both physicians. We get it with all the practical aspects of this. You are an expert with OBGYN, and you have to face this on a day-by-day basis. I'm curious to know, Keisha, in all your years of expertise and experience, how many women really are able to make enough of a change in terms of their weight and lifestyle? How many times have you seen pregnancy be kind of a wake-up call? Or if a woman's thinking of becoming pregnant, how many of them really are able to drop enough weight to make a difference?
Well, quite a few, actually. You know, pregnancy is, to me, the best time to capture a woman's focus such that, you know, changes can be made because, you know, it's not only about her anymore. It's about the little person that she's carrying. You know, what she does is impacting, or what she does or what she doesn't do impacts, you know, her baby's existence. So for me, for the most part, that's the time to really capture them and to really kind of drive home some of the things that may need to be changed.
Yeah, you know, I do the same thing with women who are imbibing alcohol too much, smoking cigarettes. I basically have a come to heaven session with them, gentle, loving, supportive, but pretty firm. And that is, I explain this new science of epigenetics.
Exactly. Which is,
you know what I mean? Like, whatever you do as a mom, you know, you're transferring to your child. Now, do you want to condemn that child or gift that child? When you eat, you know, wonderful food instead of trash, you're gifting that child with nourishment that is whole food and natural and will be wonderful for growth. If you smoke, you are changing gene expression in yourself and the child very deleteriously, which will show itself up in depression, in all kinds of mood and body problems metabolically.
Or even growth restriction.
And the same thing. Hell yeah. And the same thing with alcohol, which you and I know very well. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, I see pregnancy as you do, as a golden opportunity for that special talk that, you know, it's interesting. Women are amazing. You know, we'll trash ourselves. We won't care about ourselves. But when it comes to caring for someone else, we're all about that. So, you know, that's why pregnancy works so well, because suddenly it's like, wait a minute. You know, it's about someone else. It's about another living being. And if you wish to trash yourself, God bless. But, you know, when you've got a small, you know, little living being there totally dependent upon you,
exactly,
maybe you need to have a convo about, you know, what you're doing here. Does that make sense, Keisha?
It makes sense to me. And, you know, as I've said, you know, the majority of my patients, you know, are receptive to these types of discussions, but surprisingly so, there are a lot of women that get highly offended, highly offended.
And what did they actually say when they were offended? I'm kind of curious, like, what's the dialogue there?
They don't say anything for the most part, but they'll go to administration and complain about you.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Oh, yes.
Seriously,
you would be surprised.
For real?
You would be
oh
surprised.
My God. Wow.
You know, and since hospitals are so much into, you know, patient satisfaction, you know, sometimes, you know, you really have to make it very clear that these are the things that need to be said, regardless of whether or not the patient is offended, because ultimately, if there's a poor outcome, the hospital is going to be sued.
Right. And you have to be able to show by your record
that you
discussed every single thing. Yeah, it's you have to go checklist, check, write down the thing. And whether or not you want to hear it or not is a moot point, because at the end of the day, you got to hear it. And, you know, there it is. This is one of those fascinating places, Keisha, where we try our best as medical care providers. And, you know, sometimes that receptivity, you know, is not there. What I'm heartened by is that with your wonderful work and your tireless efforts, there are still a boatload of women out there really listening to you and getting a positive benefit and outcome. So I say kudos to you, Keisha,
thank you.
You know, for the work that you're doing. No, for real, because this is hard work. This is really hard work as a medical provider, especially, you know, today where there are so many crazy ass demands on us. And I'm just so happy to know that women are getting gifted by your knowledge and your expertise and certainly your experience as you continue to do your work. So, hey, everyone out there, I want to make sure you know we've been talking to Dr. Keisha Gaither. Now, I want you to run on over to her website. I'm going to spell it. It's K-E-C as in cat, I-A-G-A-I-T-H-E-R.com, KeishaGaither.com, and learn more about her fabulous work and, you know, really benefit from her knowledge because she is A1. Once again, Keisha, you have just been nothing but a fount of wisdom and knowledge and a real compassionate heart for us. And we so appreciate your sharing all of this with us here on the Herd Podcast. Thank you, Keisha, so much.
It is always a pleasure. Always.
All right. And everyone out there, remember to catch every episode of her just by hitting that subscribe on iTunes button or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take a moment right after this podcast and rate and review us because I'm sitting here waiting for it. I want to read this thing. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD, and you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.